Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochem Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief aforementioned introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Nun Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side under our No Say heading, where we've written Ein Lahokel Bifnei Anoshim Shenohagu Beisur. As we learned in the end of our previous shiur, the issue concerns those people who accepted upon themselves a stringency that is not required from the standpoint of basic halacha, but they nevertheless accepted upon themselves some type of stringent behavior. One who has not accepted that is nevertheless not allowed to behave leniently in that matter in their presence. We pick up the Gemara now, Gufa. This is a quote of that which had been mentioned in passing earlier. Dvorim hamutorin v'achirim noagu bohen isur. Things that are mutter, practices that are allowed, and others have accepted upon themselves restriction. I atorashoy lahatiron bifnehem. You cannot be lenient and practice those things that they abstain from in their presence. Omer of Chisda, and regarding this teaching, Rav Chisda says, "Bekusoi askinon." This was quoted on the second line from the top. We have a little star to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, showing you where this was seen earlier. Rav Chisda said that this applies to the kusoi. Bekusoi askinon. The kusoi are known as the kusim. These are people whose conversion to Judaism. It's an ancient people that converted to Judaism, but under questionable circumstances. And if they have already accepted some type of stringency, then we should not be lenient on that matter in front of them, because if we are, they will then come to be more lenient than even the halacha, then they'll go in their leniency and actually transgress halacha. The Gemara asks, and this is a long question. Essentially, you can see there's a long Tanaic source. We've also added a long question marking to show that all of this is part of the question. Is this teaching of Rav Chisda really so? The Kulei Alma lo. Are you saying that only with regard to the Kusoi one must behave in a restrictive fashion? Does this not apply across the boards? V'hotanya. And now we have there's a big Tanaic source, and there's a double underline. It's featured under our Mivneh heading on the side, Hanhoga Muteris. We're going to see illustrations of behavior that's actually allowed, and the house introduces names of places where, in each one of these allowed practices, they observed restriction. And in each one of the cases, there's going to be, as featured with a dashed underline, a maise, which will illustrate our issue. So we continue. V'hatanya, rochatzin shnei achin keachod. Two brothers are allowed to bathe together in a bathhouse. And Rashi adds on the upper part of the narrow lines, rochatzin shnei achim keachod, v'ein kan mishum pritzus. One should not suggest that there's an element of frivolity here. The name of mitoch shemitzuyin yachad, v'achshav ro'en arumim zeh ezeh noisnim ayin ish be'ochiv v'mishkav zochor. Just because the two brothers see each other unclothed, they're going to start conjuring up homosexual tendencies. So the source says that two brothers can bathe together. However, v'ein rochatzin shnei achim bekovul. Kovul is the name of a place. In that place, they shall not bathe together. Rashi says, Ein nohagim shnei achim lirchotz kechad in kovel. In that place, they do not practice brothers bathing together. Now, the incident that illustrates our issue. Umaisa bihuda vehilel bonav shel Rabban Gamliel. These are the two sons of Rabban Gamliel, Shirochatsu, Shnehem Ke'echod B'Kovel. They were visiting Kovel, and they, the two brothers, Yehuda and Hillel, bathed together. V'lo'azu aleihem kol ha-medina, and the whole Medina, the whole region, started to speak ill of them. Omru, and they said, the people of Kovel said, V'yomenu lo ro'inu kach, we never saw such a thing. V'nishmat Hillel v'yotzu l'beis hachitzon, and Hillel, and he apparently this... The murmurings started to take place on the spot. So he slipped out of there, of the bath, and went into the outer chamber. Beis HaChitzon is an outer chamber where people are clothed in the confines of the bathhouse. V'lo rotza lomar lohen mutarim atem. And he, Hillel, didn't want to tell them, you guys are wrong, it's really allowed. He kept quiet. So this already shows us that the din of not being lenient in front of people that accepted restriction is not limited to Kusoyim. Here we're talking about a place called Kovel. Another incident. Yoitzim bekurdekison b'shabbos. Kurdekison are lightweight shoes. It's interesting, the suffix kison, if you have a wild imagination, if you think about the word moccasin, that's a type of moccasin shoe that many of you are probably familiar with. It has the same ending as this word, kurdekison, moccasin. And in fact, both of them are lightweight shoes. And here's a Shabbos issue where the source says, Yoitzim bekurdekison b'Shabbos. The Ein Yotzim B'Kurdekison B'Shabbos B'Biri. Biri is the name of a place. Now, the issue that might have come up, but the halacha says it's okay. These are lightweight shoes. So one might have thought that, well, maybe it could slip off your foot easily, and you'll end up carrying it out in a public thoroughfare on Shabbos, a distance of 4 amos or more. So the halacha says you don't have to worry about that. But nevertheless, in Biri, they did. Umaisa, and now here we have the same names as we saw before, Behuda of Hillel, Bonav Sharagam Liel, Shiyotsu Bekurdekisan B'Shabbos B'Biri. They went out with these lightweight shoes in Biri on Shabbos, V'lazu Aleihem, Medina, and their murmurings arose in that region, V'omru, and they said, Mi'omenu lo reinu kach, in all our days we never saw this, V'shomtum V'nosnum Lavdeim. They slipped off these shoes and gave them to their servants. The lo rotsu lomar lohen mutar natem, and they didn't want to announce to the people that these shoes are allowed to be worn on Shabbos. And another incident. The yoshvim al safsolim nochem b'Shabbos. Safsolim is commonly translated as benches. However, these safsolim were used by street vendors for displaying their wares. The Nochrim, obviously, are Gentiles, and the Halacha is saying you can sit on these benches on Shabbos, and you are not going to be suspected of conducting commerce. It's in my mind, it's like sitting at a bus stop bench on Shabbos when you're in an area that there's a... public transportation, and that does not necessarily, one isn't necessarily forbidden to sit on it with people with the fear that people will consider you a Shabbos violator. So if that analogy is accurate, again, when we learn Gemara markings, we are not claiming to say anything that has relevance to actual halacha. If you have any halacha questions, you ask a halachic authority. But by way of analogy, so I thought maybe that has some parallel. So in this source, sitting on these benches, on these display platforms, is allowed on Shabbos without there being any fear of you being suspect of conducting commerce on Shabbos. However, v'einon yoshim al safsoli nochrim b'shabbos ba'akko. In the city of Akko, there you wouldn't sit on those safsolim. Umaisa, Reb Shimon Gamliel, here we have a different name than the stories before, but the same idea. There was an incident where Reb Shimon Gamliel, shiyoshav al safsoli nochrim b'shabbos ba'akko, he sat on one of these safsolim on Shabbos in Akko, v'lo'azo alov kol hamadino, and murmurings arose concerning him, Amru, and they said, mi'omenu lo ro'inu kach. We never saw any Jew sitting on Safsole Nochram on Shabbos. Nishmat al Gabi Karka, he slipped off onto the ground. Velo rotzo lomar lohen mutar natem. He didn't want to say, you know, it's mutter. So you see, in each one of these cases, the practitioner of the we'll call the lenient approach or the allowed approach didn't indicate anything to the contrary to those who were practicing a restriction. The Gemara answers, this whole source does not contradict Rav Chisda one iota. B'nei Medinas Hayam, Nami, all of these places, Kovel, Biri, Akko, are considered places outside of Eretz Yisrael. They are also, Kevon de lo shchichi Rabbonan Gabayu, since Talmudic scholars, since Halacha scholars are not common in their midst, they are just as ignorant, kusim damu. They are viewed as the kusim, and therefore it's important to allow them and to make sure they maintain their restrictive behavior, because once you exhibit any leniency, they don't know the bounds of halacha, and they will then go and they will then practice leniency far beyond the realm and the fence of halacha itself. The Gemara now looks into each one of these cases and says, "Bishlamo safsolei nochrim mishum demechzi kemekach umemkar." We can understand why they would adopt in the first place not sitting on those safsolim because of the appearance of engagement in mekach umemkar. We're talking, of course, on Shabbos, so as to avoid the appearance, so they restricted themselves from the safsolei nochrim. The kordikisonami, the idea behind the kordikison, we explained this earlier, that too, dilmo mishtalfin vosi lasinu arba amos bishus rabim. Mishtalfin is, it might slip off, and osi, you'll come to lasinu, is to carry them four amos in a public domain. So that's what was in their mind, even though we emphasized all along the way that you don't really have to be concerned with these things. Elo rochatsin, my time, although, what's the whole issue with the rochatsin? Now, we, based on Rashi earlier, already explained the issue, but the Gemara doesn't know yet. So the Gemara is asking, what's the problem with two brothers bathing together? The Gemara answers, kidisanya, based on the following source, one can imagine what the problem might be. It says as follows in the source, Im hakol odom rochets. A person, a man is allowed to bathe with all other men, any other man, chutz, and there are some exceptions. And this is already, this is halacha. In terms of the Gemara, in this source you'll see two kinds of men that are not allowed to bathe together. Chutz me oviv, a person shall not bathe with his father. V'chomiv, nor with his father-in-law. Ubal imo, or a man married to one's mother, not his father, but it's her, call her second marriage. Ubal achoso, or one's brother-in-law, a person married to his sister. Reb Yehuda matir be'oviv mitnei kvod oviv v'adin lebal imo. Reb Yehuda is lenient with regard to a person bathing with his father, and will assume, as Rashi says, that the person is serving his father, he's helping his father bathe, so because of honor to his father, and likewise, Baal Imo, his mother's husband, there is room for leniency. So there are restrictions in the realm of halacha of two kinds of men, as we just enumerated them. V'osu inhu, v'gozur, b'shnei achim, mishum baal achoso. The Bnei Kovel imposed a self-imposed restriction regarding two brothers because of the case of, they restricted that in anticipation of the case of a brother-in-law. In other words, the relationship of two brothers is similar in one's in their mind to brother-sister. So brother-in-law is something that is forbidden from the halachic standpoint. They imposed an additional restriction in order to not come to violate the case of the Baal HaChoso. Let us just take a look at the Rashi. Almost halfway down the page, Me'ovev v'chomiv, the halacha does not want you to bathe with father nor father-in-law. Mitoch sheroehu, when a person sees his father or his father-in-law unclothed in the bath, v'nizkar shemisham yotza, in case of one's father, it will conjure up in his mind that it's from there that he came forth. No sein libo lihur, it causes immoral thoughts. V'chein b'chomiv, likewise with his father-in-law. No sein libo shiyotza, shiyotza ishto mikan. And again, it conjures up the imagery in his mind of that, well, his own wife came from there, and those kind of thoughts are certainly improper. V'chein b'baal achoso nami iko hirhuros. Likewise with one's brother-in-law, this hirhur could arise. We continue in the Gemara. Tana, Talmid lo yirchatz im rabo, a student should not bathe together with his Torah instructor, with his Rebbe. The im rabo tzorech lo mutter, if the Rav needs the services of the Talmid, then it's allowed. And the Rashi explanation on this is shitzorech lizbayesh mikvodo umimo ra'o. A person is supposed to have a certain sense of awe and distance and respect for his Rebbe. And this situation would run counter to that. The Gemara continues, Ki osa rabo bar bar chano, when Rabo bar chano came to Bavel, he was from Eretz Yisrael. When he came to Bavel, before we go any further in the Gemara, we should point out that we have a topic heading on the side we've written under the Nosei. Rabo bar chano, shohoyim Eretz Yisrael, bo lebikur b'Bavel. He came to a visit to Bavel. V'ochal chelev de ayasra. He ate in a slaughtered animal, a part of the animal that is called the chelev, that's on the yasra. We have a diagram in the margin of the Gemara. You can see about halfway down a concave organ. That's the stomach organ, known as the keva. There is a layer or a membrane that's called chelev. Sometimes in English translations of chumashim, you might find the expression forbidden fat. Whether it's fat in the conventional sense or not, you have to look at each organ and see if that's what you want to call it. But it's either fat or a membrane that is attached to the organ. And there are a number of different areas in the animal that the chelev, this membrane, is strictly forbidden, and it carries with it a very severe punishment for one who eats it, the kores punishment. However, there are other areas of membranous material that that not everyone holds is actual chelev. And here is a case: the bow shaped organ. As you can see, this curved shaped organ, the keva, if you have a good imagination, so you can see a bow, as in bow and arrow, and from the tips of the curve, in your mind's eye, you would draw a string. In an actual bow, that's called the yeser. If you remember learning in Maseches Erevin, this imagery was used regarding a city that was built in this curved fashion, and the Gemara in Erevin was evaluating the halacha of walking from one tip to the other and the distance between the tips, and that was called the yasra. Here too we have the same imagery. the chelev that we are going to discuss is that fat or membranous material that's located on that side of the keva. And that's what you can see in the illustration. And Rabo Bar Bar Chana, coming from Eretz Yisrael, they ate that. They did not view that. That was not considered in their tradition, chelev, whatsoever. In Bavel, they did consider that chelev. So, with all that background, now we go through the story. Ki also, Rabo Bar Bar Chana, when he came to Bavel, Ochal da'ayasra, he ate that fat. The ayasra on the yeser, the chelev that B'nai Eretz Yisrael, where he was from, viewed as being totally allowed. Ul legabei Rav Aviro Sabo v'Rabo Breid Rav Huna. These two gentlemen that we noted Aleph and Beis, they visited him. Kevon de Chazinu, now they were local residents, Rav Avira and Rabo Breid Rav Huna. They were Bovel residents, and they came to visit Rabo, the Rabo Bar Chana, the guest from Eretz Yisrael. Kevon de Chazinu, upon his noticing them, Kasye Minayhu, he covered over the chelev that he was eating. He didn't want them to see it. Osu v'omrule labaye, they told this story to Abaye. Omar Lahu, Abaye said to them, Shavin Hu Kikusoi, he has made you into Kusoyim. What does that mean? Now, we saw a reference to the Kusoyim in the opening of today's Shiur. Those were people whose association with Yiddishkeit is very questionable. So Abaye says, the way Rabbi Bar Chana treated you is the way halacha treats kusoi. In other words, something that is technically speaking allowed, but others viewed it as forbidden, as the case here in this chelev d'ayasra, the B'nai Bovel accepted upon themselves this stringency. So you, who did not accept the stringency, you come from an area where it's not accepted, are not to be lenient in their presence. And that's the way you deal with the kusoi. So that was Abaye's reaction to them. The Gemara asks, it's hard to understand Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's behavior in the first place. The Rabbi Bar Bar Chana less lay ha disnan, does Rabbi Bar Chana not hold from the following? Well, this was the topic of our Mishnah, that if you are coming from a region that has one level of practice and going to a region that has another, the individual is supposed to accept upon themselves the restrictions of both areas, not only where you are going, but where you come from, or not only where you come from, but where you are going. And in this case, Rabbi Bar Chana came from a place that did not have the restriction, but he went to Bavel where they did have the restriction. So this is under the category of Chomrei HaMokom Sheholach L'Sham. So why was he being lenient? Omar Abaye. Now, we have a couple of approaches to this question. That's why we have numberings Abaye, and a couple lines later of Ashi, number 2. So Abaye says, Hani mili, mi bovel le bovel. This is true when you're going from one city in the country of Bovel to another city there. Ume Eretz Yisrael, l'Eretz Yisrael, or traveling from one region of Eretz Yisrael to another region of Eretz Yisrael. Inami mi Bavel le'Eretz Yisrael, or someone traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Avol, however, Abai says there is an exception to the rule of the Mishnah. Me Eretz Yisrael le'Bavel lo. If someone is coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, then they, the people of Eretz Yisrael, don't have to change their ways. They don't have to take into consideration their destination. In this case, their destination, i.e., Bavel. Kevon de Anan Kaifinon Lahu, since we in Bovel are subordinate to the people of Eretz Israel, Avdinon Kavosayu. So that means the translation is we do what they do, but that's not the actual pshat here. Rashi says Avdinon Kavosau klomar im boyim misham lekan. If they from Eretz Yisrael come here to Bavel, ein lohem lishanus min hogam ela oisin kimakom. They don't have to change their ways. And the reason for this is Rashi reveals the reason, which is also mentioned in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Rashi says avol meretz Yisrael lebavel im yishana es haminug bebavel ein kan machloikis. The whole issue of behaving like the place you are is to avoid controversy. However, if someone from Eretz Yisrael is coming to Bavel, that's not going to arouse controversy, even though they are behaving in a different way than the local Bavel folks. Danan kaifino lebnei Eretz Yisrael. We are subordinate to the people of Israel, the land of Israel. De inu smichi ubebavel lo smichi. In Eretz Yisrael, they had continued a tradition of smicha, of we'll call it for lack of better expression right now, rabbinic certification, a formal tradition that was passed down from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu conveying the right to issue legal rulings from generation to generation. This tradition was passed down, and that existed in Israel, that it did not exist outside of Israel. So because they had this added feature of being smichi, having smicha, and in Bavel they didn't have that, so Bavel is considered subordinate in halachic questions, in halachic terms, to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara continues, Rav Ashi Omar, afilu temo me'Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Even, he goes further and says that even if someone is coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, the Eretz Yisrael person should not behave differently than the local Bavel folks. Hani Mili, that is true. Hecho de'ein daito lachzor. That's where the traveler's intention was to leave Eretz Yisrael permanently and remain in Bavel. So because of that, he becomes like the people of Bavel and has to accept their restriction. But Rabbi Barachana daito lachzor hava. Rabbi Barachana, on the other hand, had an intention to return to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he could be different. Omar le Rabbi Barachana livnei. Rabbi Barachana said to his son, Bini, loy soichal, lo befonai, veloy shelo befonai. Rabbi tells his son, I don't want you to eat the chelev de ayasra in front of me, and certainly not behind my back. We've dashed underline lo socha lo befonai because we are going to bring that point, this specific point, into question when we get to Omid Beis, and we also have an arrow to help you get back to this point. In the meantime, though, Rabbi Bachan is saying to his son, I may be eating it, but you cannot. Ani shera'isi es Rabbi Yochanan she'ochal. I saw the great Rabbi Yochanan eating this chelev. Kedai hu Rabbi Yochanan lismochalav b'fonav v'shelo b'fonav. Rabbi Yochanan is great enough for one to rely on, whether in his presence or not. Ato lo ro'isa oso. You did not see Rabbi Yochanan. Lo toichal, bein befonai, bein shelo befonai. Therefore, as far as relying on me is concerned, that's out of the question. Therefore, don't eat the chelev dayasra, certainly not in, not behind, not when I'm not around, but even when I am around. The Gemara now makes a point. Upliga dide avide. We're calling this a long point. And this loshon appears in other Gemaras as well. Upligo didei adidei means that there appears to be Rabbi Barchana is arguing on himself. In other words, we're going to see in the next section of Gemara a behavior on the part of Rabbi Barchana which would contradict that which he just said. And the Gemara is just going to leave it at that. And that's why we're calling this a long point. By the way, we should have read this earlier, but it's never too late. On the side, under our topic heading, we have a no say, and we've written as follows: Hanhoga hamivuseses, a behavior that's based on amriyas odom godol hanoekach, upon seeing a great man practice whatever. Bizman shachirim lo pasku kamoso, in given assuming that we're dealing with a situation like others didn't rule like that, but you saw a great man behaving thusly. And we'll see in the Gemara shtei lishonos, and we've done the first lashon already. That was the aleph and beis. The Gemara continues. The Omar Rabo Barachana Sach Li Rabbi Yochanan ben Elozer. Rabbo tells us that once Rabbi Yochanan, the son of Elozer, told him, "Pam achas nichnasti achar Reb Shimon ben Reb Yosi ben Lakunya le gina." I once followed Reb Shimon into a garden. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, the Notal Sfiche Kruv, the Ochal. The halachic topic here is the topic of the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, a time during which agricultural activity for the most part is prohibited, and certainly planting new plants is strictly forbidden on the Shemitah year. The term Sfichim is a term associated with plants, with vegetation that is growing on its own. And as far as things that grow on their own, are you allowed to eat them after the Zman Bior on Shemitah? The Zman Bior is the time that you have to rid yourself of any products that grew that year because they are no longer available. They're no longer growing in the outdoors. So in this incident, it was reported that Reb Shimon was seen, this Reb Shimon ben Reb Yossi was seen picking Sfiche Kruv. Kruv is a type of vegetation, and he was picking the Kruv leaves on Shemitah after the Bior time, which is basically means after the time you should not be eating this. V'ochal v'nosan li, he ate from that and he gave to me, v'omar li, and he said, B'ni, b'fonai echol shelo b'fonai lo tochal. When I'm around, you can eat it. But when I'm not around, you cannot eat it. And why is that? Ani shiroisius Reb Shimon ben Yochoi sho'ochal. I saw Reb Shimon ben Yochoi eating Sfiche Kruv. Kedai hu Reb Shimon ben Yochoi lismoich olov b'fonav v'shelo b'fonav. I who saw the great Reb Shimon ben Yochoi eating the Sfiche Kruv, he is sufficiently significant to rely upon, whether in his presence or even outside of his presence. Right now, Reb Shimon ben Yochoi is not around, and I can eat that because I saw him, Reb Shimon ben Yochoi, eating the Sfiche Kruv. Ato, you, however, b'fonai echol shelo b'fonai lo tochal. When you're in my presence, you can eat it because I am a person that saw Reb Shimon ben Yochoi eating it, so you can rely on that connection. However, outside of my presence, you cannot eat it. That's the end of the long point. And the simple, and just using the markings, you can see on the second line from the top an arrow indicating to look back at Omalaf. Look at the difference. Here you see a story that was reported by Rabbi Bachana, and in the story you have Befonai Echol. You, who didn't see the original, we'll say, source of Heter, but since you're in my presence, you can eat it. In the story featuring Rabbi Barachana himself, he said, you cannot eat it even in my presence. Now, the Gemara's curiosity was sufficiently aroused. Having mentioned Sfiche Kruv and Reb Shimon, what is the story? My Rebbe Shimon. Desanyo. So the Gemara begins, and this sukya we simply had titled as a tatnose on the upper part of the margin, Sfiche Kruv B'Shvias. The Gemara, as we said, asks, what's the background? What is the source in which Reb Shimon appears? Desanya, Reb Shimon Oimer, Kol ha-svichim asurin chutz mi-svichei kruv. All svichim, as we said before, this is vegetation, like grains that grow on their own on Shemitah. They are usur from the Zman Habior V'Elech. From the time that this kind of vegetation does not is out of season, basically, where it's not growing in the outdoors, if you happen to have any of them, you cannot eat from them. This is true with the exception of Svichei Kruv. She'ein kayotze bohen beyerek hasoda. They don't have a parallel with regard to other vegetation. And Rashi has two pshatim, two explanations as to this phrase. And the second explanation that he offers is that the nature of the kruv vegetation is that it continues to grow around through the winter season. In other words, when other vegetation is no longer in season, so the concept of bior applies to them because they are no longer available to the chayas hasoda, to the animals in the wild. And based on the psukim, based on verses in the Torah, the halacha of bior is based on the availability of that particular plant to the animals in the wild. Hence, when a plant becomes unavailable, it goes out of season, so you can no longer eat from it. And if you have any of these, that type of vegetation in storage, you have to get rid of it. That's called bior. Not so in the case of the kruv. The kruv grows through the winter season as well. As Rashi says, it's einu kol lechaya kol yemoy sachorev. The Gemara continues, v'chachomim omrim kol hasfichim asurim. The chachomim don't make any distinctions, and they say all plants that grow on their own, you cannot take from them on Shemitah. The Travayu Aliva de Rabbi Akiva. Both approaches, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, are based on Rabbi Akiva's teaching. Desanya. The Pasuk says, Hein lo nizra velo ne'esof es tevuasenu. With regard to the Shemitah year, this pasuk says it wasn't planted, and we didn't gather in our grains. Omar Rabbi Akiva, v'chimeachas she'ein zorin. Once you say hein lo nizra, that something has not been planted, mehecha osfin. Well, how could they even talk about gathering in something that was never planted? Mikan l'svifin she'ein asur. From here, you see that even things that were not actively planted, but grew on their own. You can have that in the previous year's harvest. In the sixth year's harvest, seeds fell from the plants that were harvested, fell into the ground, and they started growing on their own. So the pasuk is alluding to those. That's things that grew on their own, and the pasuk is saying that they are not allowed to be harvested. B'mai komifligi. What is the basis of this machlokes? The machlokes we've said before between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim regarding the kruv. Ravonan Savri, Gazrinon Svife Kruv Otu Shar Svife Da'almo. Ravonan hold that one has to be stringent with regard to kruv that grows on its own, so as to not allow for any leniency regarding other kinds of vegetation that are growing on their own. Now, those other kinds of vegetation clearly have a bior date, a date by which you have to get rid of them. The Reb Shimon Savar lo gazrinon svichei kruv otu svichei damo. And Reb Shimon says, no, you don't have to treat kruv as you would all the others. The Rashi, on the lower part of the narrow lines, Gazrinon Svichei Kruvotu Svichei D'Amo, this is Rashi explaining the Shitas Chachomim, the Afagav De'ein Bior L'Kruv, even though there is no Bior for Kruv, the Omiskayim Kol Yemos HaKshomim, as it is a plant that continues through the winter season, Svichen Didei Asurin, the Kruv that plant that grows on its own is nevertheless usur. The lo lema people should not say that people shouldn't conclude erroneously that there is no concept of svichim regarding shvius. The usur lemishri shar svichim, then they'll come to allow other svichim. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah HaHolech Mimokom V'chulei. On the side, under our Nosei, we have 2 points. HaHolech Mimokom Shemachmirin. We'll discuss a person traveling from a place where there was restriction accepted. And HaHolech Limokom Shemachmirin. Or a case of a person going to a destination where they practiced stringency. The Gemara opens up with a question that lasts a number of lines. Bishlamo haholech mimokim she'oisin lemokim she'enoisin. I can understand that scenario of a person who goes from a place where they practice leniency to a place where they are restrictive. This is, of course, a reference to that which we learned in our Mishnah. A person who goes who is traveling from a place that they did melacha in the morning hours of the 14th of Nisan to a place where they had accepted a practice of non-melacha, of desisting from constructive activity, melachas, in the morning hours of the 14th of Nisan. So in that case, noisin alav, chomrei mokom sheholach lisham, we will impose upon him the restrictions of his destination. The al yishane odom mitnei hamachlokes, and as the Mishnah says regarding these examples, don't behave differently because that will arouse controversy. So that if you are going to a place where people do not do malacha, don't behave differently, and that would be manifest by your doing malacha in their presence, and that will cause strife. And as such, the lo levit, as we said, don't do moch, even though you're coming from a place that they didn't have that restrictive practice. Elo, the next case in the Mishnah is hard to understand in light of everything the Mishnah teaches. The other scenario was elo mi mokom shein oisin li mokom sheosin. A person is traveling from a place of restriction to a place of leniency, namely to a place where everyone is doing malacha. on the 14th of Nisan in the morning. It says in the Mishnah, Al yishane odom mitnei hamachloikis. You should not behave differently, because that will arouse controversy. And what does that mean, practically speaking? V'nevid. So, because you're in a place that they do malacha, you too should do malacha. That doesn't make sense. Ho amris, but we have already said noisin molav chomrei mokom sheholach lisham, and here we dashed underline this v'chomrei mokom sheyotza misham. And in this more recent scenario, he was coming from a place where they do not do malacha. That's mimokom she'ein oisim. So if he's coming from a place that they don't do malacha, and you're telling me that a person has to accept upon himself or take into consideration also his point of origin, well, his point of origin was where they do not do malacha. So how can you say in the same Mishnah, don't change and do malacha? There's an inherent contradiction. Omar Abaye. And here we have two approaches, and we've double underlined them to highlight the opinions. Omar Abaye a Reisha. That which it says in the Mishnah, Al Yishane, Mipneha Machloikis, that phrase that you saw in the Mishnah, do not behave differently because that will arouse strife, that is referring only to one of the cases, the first case, namely where he's going to a place where they do not do malacha. Whereas destination is a place of restriction, only regarding that, the Mishnah says, don't behave differently, because by doing malacha, you will be arousing strife and machloikis. Rava Omar Le'olam Asefa. Rava says that the Al Yishane teaching applies to the Seifa as well. In other words, where he's going to a place where they do something. They are Oisin Malacha. Even so, we will tell you, don't do Malacha. The Hachi Ka'omar. And thusly, we are to understand the Mishnah. Ein Bezu. If you're going to a place where they do Malacha and you desist from Malacha, that Ein Bezu Mitnei Shinui HaMachlokas. That different behavior will not arouse controversy. The fact that everyone around you is doing malacha and you are sitting not doing malacha is not going to be the source, it's not going to serve as a source or as a basis for arousing controversy. My ko'amris, what could possibly be? What could possibly be a problem? Again, what we're saying, what we're about to say now is not really a problem, but what could you imagine to be a problem? My ko'amris, haroya oimer, one who sees me not doing malacha, he's going to say, oh, malacha asura, that here's a guy, by his desisting from malacha, is declaring malacha is forbidden, and he's arguing with us, because we hold that it's allowed on the 14th of Nisan in the morning. That's not really going to happen. Meimar Amri, people in truth will figure that his lack of malacha, his desisting from malacha activity, is not a function of his declaring in our faces that malacha is also, but rather, kama batloni have b'shuk. There are a lot of unemployed people in the market. In places that people are engaged in malacha, it doesn't mean 100% of the population is doing malacha. There are many people that are batlonim, that are botel. They are unoccupied. They are unemployed. They have nothing to do. And so this guy who is not doing malacha, he's one of them. So that his behavior, his restrictive behavior, isn't going to arouse any controversy. However, in the opposite scenario, where he's coming from a place where they do malacha, and his destination is where they do not do malacha, everyone around then, 100% of the population will not be doing malacha. If you are going to be, are you who come from a place where they do malacha, and you continue your old practice, that will be a slap in the face, so to speak, to the public surrounding you who are not doing malacha. We continue in the Gemara with a question. This is a question that will take us to the second line from the top of Nun Beis Omen Aleph. Omer le Rav Safra le Rebbe Abba. Kegon anan diadinon bekevio diarcha. The issue that is that arises now concerns what is known as the 2 days of Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael. There's the first day is called the main day, and the second day has its roots in times when there was not an established calendar, and people outside of Eretz Yisrael, because of their distance from where the new month was declared, namely the Beis Hamikdash, so they were not 100% sure when the new month was declared. Therefore, when what they thought was the 15th of the month arose, which is the day that we celebrate Sukkot and we celebrate Pesach, when that date arose, there was an element of doubt that maybe the previous month was extended by 1 day, and that what they think is the 15th is really the 14th, and the next day is the 15th. That's just a bit of historical background. However, the calendar was established at a certain point, and that's called Kviyah D'Archa. Now the observance of the second day of Yom Tov is a minhag. It's a practice that we continue but it's not, it doesn't show, or it's, we'll say it's a mere rabbinic practice, a minig, that we call minig avosenu biyodenu. With that in mind, so one can in his mind think of the second day of Yom Tov as being something of, we'll call it lesser significance, being that we know when the Torah date of the holiday is. That's what we call the first day of Yom Tov. The second day is less significant in that sense. But as far as any halachic manifestation of that, that is already a different story. But with that background in mind, Rav Safra says to Rabbi Abba, we who know, Anan diadinon bekviyo diarcha, we who know when the actual date of the holiday falls out, because we have calendars. Beyishuv lo avidna mipnei shinu hamachloikis. So I, who come, let us say, come from a place that we know, or in general, we know that when the actual holiday comes out, and now we're on the second day, which is not the real date. It's not even a function of doubt. There's not even any doubt. It's just a custom that's maintained. So let us say you have someone coming from Eretz Yisrael, where they don't have a second day of Yom Tov. And they are now in a place where they do observe the second day of Yom Tov. And as we said, that second day is essentially a custom, minug avosenu biodenu. So when I am in such a place, beyishuv lo avidna, when I'm in the community, the settled area where there are other people around, so I would not do any malacha mitnei shinui hamachlokes, because of the because the change will arouse controversy. Bamidbar mai, what about someone who is not in the community? Omar le, hochi omar Rabbi Ami. So Rav Abba says, thusly says Rabbi Ami. Biyishuv osur, bamidbar mutar. Rashi at the top says, Biyishuv lo avidna, melocha b'yom tov sheni. I wouldn't do melocha on the second day of Yom Tov. Hoyol v'noagu bo isur, since they accepted this as a day of restriction. Lo ashane le'ineihem es haminug. I won't behave differently in their presence, to change their to behave differently than their minhag. However, by midbar, and Rabbi Abba rules, in the midbar, when you're outside of the community, then it is allowed. This Gemara touches on a topic that is that has halachic relevance to this very day. But once again, one has to be very, very careful not to conclude from learning Gemara what we term halacha lamaisa. But you can very well imagine someone today who had traveled from Eretz Yisrael, where there is no second day of Yom Tov, and he is visiting a community outside of Israel, where everyone observes a second day of Yom Tov. So how is the Israeli visitor to conduct himself? So we are certainly not going to say anything on the topic in terms of halacha lamaisa, practical halacha, but this Gemara certainly can serve as the basis of such a discussion. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Noson bar Asya, Ozal mibei Rav lepubadisa, beYom Tov sheni shel Atzeres. Rav Noson traveled from Bei Rav, which, if you assume that Bei Rav is a reference to the place that Rav had a yeshiva, which in and of itself can be the source of a discussion what the term Bei Rav means, but if we assume in this Gemara that Bei Rav means where Rav served as the Rosh Yeshiva. So that was in the city of Sura. So he was traveling from Sura to Pupadisa, which is a long trip. And he did so on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Atzeres, means the second day of Shavuos. Now, Yom Tov entails the halachas of Tchum, just like Shabbos does. So this gentleman went, he did what would be, objectively, he violated the laws of Yom Tov. Now, he did so on the second day of Shavuos. Shamte Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef put him into excommunication. Now, before we go further, we have a marking, and on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh, we have the topic heading and structural note are combined. The diamond is featured, and we've written Shnei Deos, there are two opinions, Rav Yosef, Be'eza Oynish Manishim Lebar Be'rav Shesach. What punishment is imposed on a Torah student who went off, who violated halacha? Cherem oi malchus, excommunication or lashing. So the story continues. Rav Yosef excommunicated this gentleman, Rav Nosson Bar Asya, for having treated Yom Tov Sheni offhandedly, in a wrong fashion. Omar le Abaye, v'linagde mar negidi. Why not impose lashing on him? Negidi is lashings. Omar le, da'adifa avdi le. I imposed upon him the more stringent punishment. That if there was a choice between excommunication or malchus, the excommunication form of punishment is a more severe punishment. De bemarova mimnu anegida, de bar beirav, velo mimnu ashamta. In Eretz Yisrael, they would, mimnu is they would take a vote and conclude and rule to give a bar beirav, that's a student of a yeshiva student, someone who studies Torah, they would give him malchus, and they wouldn't give him, they wouldn't put him in excommunication because that was considered too strict. Rashi says, Mimnu anegida de bar beirav, Talmud shesorach, Rashi on the third line from the top, a Talmud shesorach, a Talmud that went off, violated, hoyu nimnin lahalkosov lo lindoso, they would conclude to give him lashing and not to excommunicate him. Mishum de shamto hamura v'choshishim l'chvod haTorah, because shamto, excommunication, is so so stringent, and that could result in people losing their respect for Torah and Torah students, so they would give him the lesser penalty. As far as Rav Yosef is concerned, he imposed on this gentleman, Rav Nosson Bar Asya, the more stringent penalty. As far as how do you explain, what about the Kavanah Torah consideration, that is not going to be, that's not discussed here in the Gemara, but the issue or the citation of what they did in Eretz Yisrael is here to show that Shamta, that Cherem or Nidui is another term for that, Nidui is the more severe penalty, and Rav Yosef was saying, I am going to throw the book at him for having traveled on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Atzeres. Ika the Amri, another version is Nagde Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef imposed lashings on Rav Nosson Bar Asya. Omar le Abaye Nishamte Mor. Why not put him into Cherem, impose excommunication? The Rav Ushmul Demi Chavayu. Both Rav and Shmuel say, Menadin al Shnei Yomim Toivim Shel Golias. When it comes to someone being lax with regard to the second day of Yom Tov, which is known as by the term Shnei Yomim Toivim Shel Golias, that one is to be put into excommunication. So why are you only lashing? Omar le, so Rav Yosef answers, Hani mili, that which Rav and Shmuel said, Inish de'almo. That's a reference to general people. People from the general population that violate Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Hochot Tzuber Midrabbonan Hu. Here we're dealing with a a young Torah scholar, Rav Nosson Bar Asya. The Tova Le Avdi, I did for him that which is better for him. In Eretz Yisrael, when it came to a Bar Bei Rav, a yeshiva student who violated this kind of offense, they would impose upon him lashing velo mimnu ashamta, but they would not rule to put someone in excommunication, because that is so severe. And here we can more easily see the explanation that Rashi mentioned before, that to put a Bar Bei Rav into excommunication would weaken the general public's respect for Torah and Torah students. So because of that, I imposed the lighter punishment of lashing. Before we conclude, let us remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com, and that might be of benefit for those who are interested in receiving marked Gemaras. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.